Well, we're back, and Michelle Newman is many things, but what I did not know about her is she is a member of the Siksika Nation, and in our continuing Destination Canada series, Michelle is about to take us on a mental journey to Alberta and the Siksika Nation. What is also interesting is that she's in an area that's been snowed in, and we had a little bit of a problem getting through to you, but we've got you now, I hope.
Yep, I'm here, Roy, ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, it's funny because we were getting a recording apparently saying that all the lines are down or busy, so...
Electricity powers out also. I mean, this is as rare as hen's teeth to have snow and ice in San Antonio.
Yeah, that is for sure. First of all, the article is super, and quite an exciting experience for you. And as you say, Gal came from Miami to be out there. It was an incredible experience. And you start off by saying, "Listen to the animals, and they will speak to you." And you got that from the chief of the Blackfoot Nation. Let's start from there.
Well, if Chief and I were out fishing, he knows that I like to fish, and I was really fortunate and blessed that he took me under his wing and he took me to his favorite fishing hole, and you know, that immediately is trust right there for a guy to share their fishing hole. And to go fishing or hunting on native land is even more of an honor, because that's something that's reserved for the members of the nation. And this was on like an ultra-freezing day. I had about 5 layers of clothes on. I literally looked like a Russian immigrant arriving at Ellis Island. And the chief took me down to his fishing hole. We went fishing. We didn't catch a damn thing. I got bronchitis. And it was really quite a treat doing that. And while we were fishing, all of a sudden this eagle flew overhead and he said, "Michelle, that is a very good sign." And I said, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about?" He says, "Well, look up there. It's an eagle. That's really special in our culture. And that means it's good luck, and it's a blessing, and it's an omen. And, you know, our people believe that if you listen to the animals, they will speak to you, and we can learn from them."
And, of course,
there's
it's
a lot of attention in that culture that's paid to nature, flora, fauna, animals. And they have spirits.
And, of course, it's our national bird.
Exactly.
Now, so then he took you for a little ride in his old beat-up Chevy pickup truck.
Oh, yeah, I got whiplash with that one, Roy.
But it was, I mean, obviously in that kind of country, that's the kind of vehicle you want, something you can beat up and bang up, because no matter what happens, it's gonna go to pieces. So you got to ride, as you call your physical discomfort and physical representation of a cultural realignment. Now, that's an interesting statement.
Oh, yeah. I mean, things are totally different on the reservation. Whether you call it reservation, nation, whatever, on the Blackfoot Nation, it's different. They even have something called Indian time, which means that nothing, including a powwow or other sacred ceremonies, ever start on time. It's sort of like a bar mitzvah. Nothing starts on time. It's sort of like being in Manana Land, Margaritaville. They've got their own rhythm, and a lot of their lifestyle is tied into the rhythm and seasons of nature. So they're not rushed. They don't have this rush, 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 push mentality that we do in the States. They're much more laid back than we are.
And you also go on to say that when you were driving through the reservation, you came across a small boulder in a grassy spot alongside the riverbank, and it was 3 feet high or about 4 feet wide.
Oh, my God, Roy, that was so funny. The chief's still laughing about that 6 years later. We were driving along the river, actually, finding our little fishing spot, and all of a sudden he slams on the brakes. I almost go through the windshield, and he says, "Hey, Michelle, take a look at that. Look at that rock over there." And I went, "That?" I said, "Oh, my God, Chief, you mean you even have graffiti out here, out in the boonies on the reservation?" I said, "I can't believe you got graffiti out here. This isn't New York. This isn't Chicago or Miami." And he said, and he was laughing so hard, "Oh, my God." He said, "Michelle, that's not graffiti. That's one of our sacred rocks that's painted with important symbols and images, and we use that for our ceremonies." And he's still laughing about that to this day. And it was bright red, bright yellow, and it had black and white polka dots on it. And it had a buffalo's head painted on it.
Amazing. And you know, so you really thought you were on the subway there for a moment.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the buffalo is such an important symbol in their culture because the buffalo was life to the Indians, especially when they were living on the plains before they were living in houses. The buffalo provided skin for their teepees, clothing for their bodies, food for their stomachs. So the buffalo was their life.
Right. Now, and you stayed at the chief's house, what, for three weeks, I guess, huh?
Yes. I stayed with the chief and his lovely wife, Leslie, and Premier Ralph Klein arranged that because I wanted to volunteer. When I was younger, I wanted to be in the Peace Corps, and, of course, my overly protective Jewish parents would not even think of that or allow that. And so now I have my own little Peace Corps where I go around the world and I help people establish cottage industries and share my art with them so that they will be enabled to support themselves and, as I said, initiate cottage industries by me sharing my skills and my textile techniques with them and doing product design and development.
Well, so, let's talk about that for a moment, if you will. So people may not that are listening may not understand the term cottage industry.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you explain it to us?
A cottage industry is really a small business. It could even be in the home. And a lot, for the most part, in third world countries, you'll see cottage industries popping up, like in India, in parts of Central and South America, like Guatemala, and Thailand. And basically, it's a small business. Usually, women are involved. It's usually run by women, not necessarily always, but a lot of times village women. And it will be a handicraft, usually, one of their indigenous types of forms of art that they can now use and earn extra income.
All right. Okay. And so the particular type, was there any, I mean, obviously you're an artist, but was there any particular type of cottage industry that you stress there?
Yes, a textile designer, textile artist, and that's I've even written a book on textile painting.
Right.
And so I've shared my textile silk painting techniques with the women on the nation. And last time I was there in September, I hosted a silk painting session, and we painted dance shawls. And now the women know how to do that, and they're going to sell them on the powwow trail.
How cool is that?
Yeah, they were really thrilled. And there's actually an article on that in Native People's Magazine this month.
And what's interesting is that here you've been invited into their home and into their environment, and that you bring to it something entirely different.
Well, you know, Roy, if God gave me a talent, what greater gift is there than to share it with other people and make them happy and enrich their lives and give them a way of supporting themselves and supplementing their income?
Absolutely, absolutely. Very well said. Now, from there, you did some day trips.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. There's so much to do in this area. It's absolutely amazing. There's just an abundance. You can either head west and go to Lake Louise and Banff and Jasper National Park, the Glenbow Museum in Calgary, or you could head in other directions and go to the Drumheller and the Royal Tyrrell Dinosaur Museum, which is quite spectacular, and head smashed in Buffalo Jump, which is a UNESCO heritage site.
And you did go to Drumheller, and you drove through the Badlands.
Oh, my God, it's really creepy, Roy.
Really?
Totally creepy. It looks like lunar landscape. It's just totally isolated, desolate, creepy, scary. You would not want to have a flat tire there at night. It is one spooky place.
But you did it, girl.
I did it. I was like a brave little Indian.
You've always been a brave little Indian.
You know, I was adopted by the chief and the tribe.
Well,
that's it.
I was just about to head to that. Tell us about that.
Well, it was quite an honor. Not too many white people get adopted by the tribe. And I was adopted by the tribe, and there was a ceremony that initiated me. And one of the elders actually performed a ceremony and blessed me. Clifford Manyguns was the elder that performed the ceremony with the chief. And when Clifford initiated me into the tribe, into the clan, he said, in our culture, we give a name to our people, and the name is usually reflected by something they do or something they are. There's a significance. It's not just a name we pull out of the air. And we are giving you the name Napisaki. And he said that means cloth woman because of your connection with fabric and cloth.
Oh, interesting.
So it indicates something that you do and that's part of your life.
That's terrific. That's
well, it
terrific.
Was quite an honor. As I said, it's not something many people who are, many white people are ever have that honor. And then another time the chief took me to one of the other elders in the nation for my birthday and had me blessed and had my face painted so that I would be protected.
Well, I mean, that's exciting. I hope you have some good photographs of that one.
No, you're not allowed to take ceremonies. It would be you're not allowed to take photographs during ceremonies because that would be considered highly disrespectful.
Ah, okay.
And it's really important to respect their wishes and their culture.
Well, the other thing you mentioned in here that's very interesting is teepee designs. Tell us about that.
Teepee designs are actually fascinating. When you go to a powwow, you will see a cluster, like a camp of teepees that have been erected. And it can take several hours to erect a teepee. And it's a lot larger than you think. The inside of a teepee can actually accommodate anywhere from 12 people for sleeping up to 15 or 20 people to sit inside the teepee. And the teepees are usually bright and colorful. And the teepee designs come from dreams and visions. And they also reflect the natural flora and fauna and landscape that surrounds the reservation and the plains. And these images are also passed down from one family member to another. They are inherited. And my dear friend, my Blackfoot sister, Lavina Crossguns, invited me to her teepee transfer ceremony where she just finished painting her teepee. And the images that she painted on her teepee came from her dream that she had one night. And she was even directed what colors to paint her teepee. And then the teepee had to be properly transferred and blessed by one of the elders. And now this is her teepee design that she went on public notice saying, this is my teepee, this is my teepee design, and this will go to my grandchildren, and nobody can use it but my family without my explicit permission.
Now, what do they, if they're living in houses, I mean, do some people actually live in the teepees, or these, or just...
Sometimes they stay in the teepee in the summer. It's also used during the Calgary Stampede. They set up an Indian village where they'll set up, you know, beautiful teepees. And at powwows, the teepees come out. No, they don't really live in them, but they might camp out in them. They might have ceremonies in the teepees, family gatherings in the teepee. But no, all of my friends on the Blackfoot Nation have lovely homes, and some of them have teepees that they'll erect in their backyards, as I said, for special events and special occasions.
And a special occasion, as you so indicate in your article, is the powwow. Let's chat about that.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, like Bob Fisher and I spoke about while we were traveling together and going to the powwow. You know, powwow is the ultimate form of theater. It is beyond a Broadway production. You've got costumes. You have plumage. You have exquisite buckskin dresses. You have the elders wearing their buckskin outfits with elaborate beadwork. You have exquisitely beaded dance shawls with fringe that are, you know, a yard long that sway in to the beat of the pounding rhythmic drums. You have a grand entry, which is like a parade, where the chief is leading this grand entry into powwow, and he's got his whole entourage with him, and it's a grand spectacle. You have flag bearers. You have the dancers following the chief. The chief is holding a carved eagle head staff with him to indicate his power, his prestige, and it's regal. I mean, that's all I can say. It is a regal experience to see this.
Sounds like your life has been changed somewhat.
Oh, my God. My life was so transformed by this experience. There were so many valuable lessons that I learned while living on the nation. It's unbelievable. It did change my life. And I also made some special friends along the way. I mean, I was welcomed into their hearts and their homes. And, as I said, adopted into the tribe, which is the greatest honor of all.
Michelle, it's a great article. There's some great photos, and for those listening, if you'd like to read this article more in depth, you can do so by going to our website, ttrn.com. And
Roy, can I invite everybody out there to this summer in July, we're having the opening of the Interpretive Center at Blackfoot Crossing, and it's going to be a spectacular event, and I know people will want to attend that.
Certainly, and how would they get more information?
They can go online to www.siksika.com. And what we'll do is we'll post that on your website so people will have access to getting additional information for the Blackfoot Crossing.
That's super. I think that I might like to do that myself. In fact, if I were going to plan a trip out into that area, summer would have probably been my first choice.
Summer or fall, yes, oh. I agree.
Michelle, it's super. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us and share
my
this
pleasure,
with our audience.
Roy.
And we look forward to chatting with you again.
Thank you.
It's
bye-bye
a pleasure.
Now.
Bye now.